Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Memra by Avram Goldreich, and today Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Hei, the seventh parak, Arba Misos. The Zichu Masechet Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe ben Yamin ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission describes Baal Ov as a pitom, Hamadamber Meshechyo, a sorcerer who speaks from his armpit by raising the dead there. Yedoni is Hamadabra Bafiv, one who places a bone from a Yedoni animal in his mouth and it speaks through his mouth. Both practices are punished with skila. The Gemara asks why the Mishnah increases only mentions Ov, but not Yedoni. Rav Yochanan says that since they are prohibited with one lav, violating both Bishogig only obligates a single carbon, and that Mishnah only lists multiple chattas obligations. Reish Lakish explains that Yedoni is not mentioned there, Lefishem Bo Maisa, because it involves no physical action, since the bone speaks by itself, and it does not obligate any carbon. Rav Yochanan counters that that Mishnah which obligates a carbon from a Gadif, a blasphemer, follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion that a Maisa is not required for a carbon, so Yedoni would also obligate a carbon. Reish Lakish responds, need the Labai Rabbi Akiva Maisa Rabba. Granted, the Rabbi Akiva does not require a major action for a carbon. Maisa Zut the boy, he does require a minor action. A Megadif's minor action is a Kimasvasav, the curving of his lips in speaking, and the Ov's action is clapping his arms. Point number two, it's taught in a Braisa that a carbon for idolatry requires a Maisa and gives Hishtachava bowing down as an example. Reish Lakish says this falls Rabbi Akiva, who obligates a carbon without a Maisa, but requires a minor action, as Reish Lakish said before, but bowing would not obligate a carbon according to the Rabbanan. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Kfifas komasoga Rabban havi Maisa. Bending one's height is considered an action even according to the Rabban. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then Akimas Svasov, curving of the lips of a Megadev, should also constitute an action according to the Rabban, yet they exempt him from a carbon. It answers that Megadev is different, however Yeshna Belev, because his transgression is primarily in his heart, that a Megadev, even using Hashem's name, is only liable if his blasphemy is intended towards Hashem. Since it depends on his mindset, it's not considered an action. Rabbi Yochanan similarly holds that Chasam Bakol, one who muzzled a threshing animal by voice, meaning he shouted at it, or Hinhiga Bakol, he led with his voice an animal yoked with a different species, is liable to Malkus because Akimas Piv, the curving of his mouth, is an action. But Reish Lakish disagrees. And point number three, Abraisa defines a Dorish Alamesim, one who seeks out the dead, in contrast to Ov, who also communicates with the dead, as one who starves himself and sleeps in the cemetery, so Ruch Tuma, a spirit of impurity, rests upon him. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry that if one can succeed in bringing a Ruch Tuma to himself through starving himself, Hamari B'atzmo Kadesh Shetishra Lav Ruch Tahara, then one who starves himself so that a spirit of purity rests upon him, all the more so should succeed. Aval ma'aseh, but what shall I do? Sha'avonaseinu garmulanu, that our sins have caused our failures. The pasuk describes sins separating between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A ma'onen is defined either as, number one, one who passes seven types of male seed over his eyes to perform magic, or number two, a'ochez ha'zeinayim, one who seizes the eyes means makes illusions, or number three, a machashev itim v'shaos, one who calculates times and hours, declaring which times are auspicious for departing, buying, so on. A menachesh, a diviner, is one concerned with omens, such as if bread fell from someone's mouth or his staff fell from his hand. So once again, the three points are number one. The next mission describes Baal Ov as a pitom, a medaber meshechyo, a sorcerer who speaks from his armpit by raising the dead there. Yedoni is hamedaber bafiv, one who places a bone from a Yedoni animal in his mouth and it speaks through his mouth. Both practices are punished with skila. The Gemara asks why the mission increases only mentions Ov, but not Yedoni. Rav Yochanan says that since they are prohibited with one lav, violating both Bishogig only obligates a single carbon, and that Mishnah only lists multiple chattas obligations. Reish Lakish explains that Yedoni is not mentioned there, Lefishem Bo Maisa, because it involves no physical action, since the bone speaks by itself, and it does not obligate any carbon. Rav Yochanan counters that that Mishnah which obligates a carbon from a Gadif, a blasphemer, follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion that a Maisa is not required for a carbon, so Yedoni would also obligate a carbon. Reish Lakish responds, need the Labai Rabbi Akiva Maisa Rabba. Granted, the Rabbi Akiva does not require a major action for a carbon. Maisa Zut the boy, he does require a minor action. A Megadif's minor action is a Kimasvasav, the curving of his lips in speaking, and the Ov's action is clapping his arms. Point number two, it was taught in a Braisa that a carbon for idolatry requires a Maisa and gives Hishtachava bowing down as an example. Reish Lakish says this follows Rabbi Akiva, who obligates a carbon without a maisa, but requires a minor action, as Reish Lakish said before. But bowing would not obligate a carbon according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Kfifas komasol Rabban havi maisa. Bending one's height is considered an action, even according to the Rabbanan. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then Akimas Sfasov, curving of the lips of a Megadev should also constitute an action according to the Rabban, yet they exempt him from a carbon. It answers that Megadev is different, because his transgression is primarily in his heart, that a Megadev, even using Hashem's name, is only liable if his blasphemy is intended towards Hashem. Since it depends on his mindset, it's not considered an action. Rabbi Yochanan similarly holds that Chasam Bakol, one who muzzled a threshing animal by voice, meaning he shouted at it, or Hinhiga Bakol, he led with his voice an animal yoked with a different species, is liable to Malkus because Akimas Piv, the curving of his mouth, is an action. But Reish Lakish disagrees. And point number three, Abraisa defines a Dorish al Amesim, one who seeks out the dead, in contrast to Ov, who also communicates with the dead, as one who starves himself and sleeps in the cemetery, so Ruch Tuma, a spirit of impurity, rests upon him. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry that if one can succeed in bringing a Ruach Tumah to himself through starving himself, Hamariv Atzmo Kadesh Shetishra Lav Ruach Tahara, then one who starves himself so that a spirit of purity rests upon him, all the more so should succeed. Aval Ma'aseh, but what shall I do? Shavonaseinu Garmulanu, that our sins have caused our failures. The pasuk describes sins separating between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A ma'onen is defined either as, number one, one who passes seven types of male seed over his eyes to perform magic, or number two, a ochez ezeinayim, one who seizes the eyes means makes illusions, or number three, a machashev itim v'shaos, one who calculates times and hours, declaring which times are auspicious for departing, buying, so on. A menachish, a diviner, is one concerned with omens, such as if bread fell from someone's mouth or his staff fell from his hand. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Samech Hei, and this Siman was suggested to us by Hanan Davis. He suggested that Samech Hei is a seh, a sheep, and we often use a shepherd for the Siman. So here goes. The shepherd with the Adoni bone speaking through his mouth, Beshogeg, which did not require him to bring one of his sheep as a carbon, while bowing down to the sheep of Odazor Beshogeg, which did require his bringing a carbon, woke up the starving man sleeping in a cemetery who was trying to get a Ruach Tuma to rest upon him. Once again, slow motion. The shepherd, that must be Daf Samech Hei, Seh, sheep. The shepherd with the Adoni bone speaking through his mouth, Beshogeg, which did not require him to bring one of his sheep as a carbon, which reminds us, the more it discusses if there is a carbon for Yadoni according to Rabbi Akiva, who obligates a carbon without a Maisa. The more it distinguishes between a Megadev, where at least there's the moving of the lips, whereas by Yadoni, it's only the bone speaking. So the shepherd with the Adoni bone speaking through his mouth, Beshogeg, which did not require him to bring one of his sheep as a carbon, while bowing down to the sheep of Odazor Beshogeg, which did require his bringing a carbon, which reminds us, Abraisa states that a carbon for Avodazor requires a Maisa, and gives Hishtachava, bowing down as an example. Reish Lakish says this falls Rabbi Akiva, who obligates a carbon without a Maisa, but requires a minor action, as Reish Lakish said before, but bowing would not obligate a carbon according to the Rabban. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees that bending one's height is considered an action even according to the Rabbanan. So the shepherd with the Adoni bone speaking through his mouth, Beshogeg, which did not require him to bring one of his sheep as a carbon, while bowing down to the sheep of Odazor Beshogeg, which did require his bringing a carbon, woke up the starving man sleeping in a cemetery who was trying to get a Ruach Tuma to rest upon him, which reminds us, a Braisa defines a Dorish El Hamesim, one who seeks out the dead, as one who starves himself and sleeps in the cemetery, so a Ruach Tuma, a spirit of impurity, rests upon him. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry that if one can succeed in bringing a Ruach Tumah to himself through starving himself, Hamariv Atzmo Kadesh Tishra Lav Ruach Tahara, then one who starves himself so that a spirit of Tahara rests upon him, all the more so should succeed. Aval Ma'aseh, what shall I do that our sins have caused our failure? So once again, the shepherd with the Adoni bone speaking through his mouth, Beshogeg, which did not require him to bring one of his sheep as a carbon, while bowing down to the sheep of Odazor Beshogeg, which did require his bringing a carbon, woke up the starving man sleeping in a cemetery who was trying to get a Ruach Tuma to rest upon him. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Samachov. So the symbol for Daf Samachov is a saw, and we often use a magician doing a saw a person in half trick. So here goes. When the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, saw the man in half? That must be more in Daf Samachov. Saw. When the magician sold his house, which did not include the yetzia, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Hamocher sabayis l'macher yetzia. One who sells a house does not automatically sell the extension, even if it opens into the house. In Bavel, yetzia was interpreted as afta, a low building adjacent to the house, used for the same dwelling function as the house. Rav Yosef interpreted it as bitka chalila, a similar structure with many windows made for beautification and cooling off. So, when the magician sold his house, which did not include the yetzia, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, because it was 4 amos wide and did not include the 3 amma pit either, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that a yetzia must be 4 amos to be excluded from the sale of the house, as opposed to a bor, which can even be smaller and excluded. There, the house has its own function, and the pit has its own function. Since they serve different purposes, the pit is not included in the house's sale, even if it's smaller than dalet amos. Here, both the house and the extension have essentially the same purpose as a living area. Therefore, only if it's 4 square amos is it considered independently significant and excluded from the house's sale. So, when the magician sold his house, which did not include the yetzia, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, because it was 4 amos wide and did not include the 3 amma pit either, he used the money to purchase an apartment, which the seller described by using the walls of the entire building, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that if one sold a house in the Bira Gadola, a large apartment building, even if he described it in the shtar, the boundaries of the property with the outer boundaries of the entire building, we say he merely widened the boundaries for him to identify the building, and not that he sold the entire building. Daf Samach Beis. So the symbol Daf Samach Beis is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine captain's submarine. That must mean we're on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine captain standing with the sailors on the shore with a map of a field marked with one boundary drawn long and one drawn short, which reminds us, the Gemara says, Matzel Umetzer Echod Aruch Umetzer Echod Katzor. If the sailor drew one boundary long and one boundary short, meaning he drew the entire length of the western boundary where the adjacent field belonged to one person and only half the eastern boundary, of which half the adjacent field belonged to one person and half to another, Rav says, Lokana El Kenegara Katzor. He only acquires the area which is opposite the short boundary, meaning the half of the field enclosed by both described boundaries. So the submarine captain standing with the sailors on the shore with a map of a field marked with one boundary drawn long and one drawn short, and another map of a field that had 3 boundaries drawn, leaving out the fourth, which reminds us, a Maharam discussed a case where 3 boundaries of a sold field were drawn, but the fourth boundary was not. Rav says, Kana kol chutzma meitza revi. He acquires everything except for a furrow's width of the fourth boundary, which the seller retains. Shmuel says he even acquires the fourth boundary because it did not need bare mentioning. Rav Asi says, O kana el tel me'echon ok p'nei kula. He only acquires a single furrow's width around the entire field along the 3 drawn boundaries. So the submarine captain standing with the sailors on the shore with a map of a field marked with 1 boundary drawn long and 1 drawn short and another map of a field that had 3 boundaries drawn, leaving out the fourth, told them if they succeeded in the mission, he would give them half the land I own in a land he had a partnership in, which reminds us, Rabbah said that if a partner of a field wrote in a shtar of sale, Palgadi Isli Ba'ara, I am selling half that I own in the land, Palga, then half the land is sold, meaning the partner's entire portion. If he wrote, Palga ba'ar di isli, half in the land that I own, ripa, then a quarter of the total land is sold, meaning half the partner's portion. In the first case, he sold the half which he owns, whereas in the second case, he sold half of the land which he owns, and thus sold a quarter of the land. Daf Samach Gimel. So the Simran Daf Samach Gimel is a segue. So here goes. The boy racing around on a segue. Segue? That must mean we're on Daf Samach Gimel. The boy racing around on a segue in a field a Levi sold his father, on condition the Maaser Rishon is his, which reminds us, a Braisa teaches that if a Levi sells a field to a Yisrael and stipulates, a Menashe Maaser Rishon shall lead, the sale is with the condition that its Maaser Rishon is mine, then the Maaser Rishon is his. If he says the sale is with the condition the Maaser Rishon is mine and my children's after I die, then if he dies, the Yisrael gives the Maaser to his children. The Gemara wonders why this stipulation is effective. But a person cannot transfer ownership of something that has yet come into existence. It answers that since he made the condition to keep the miser, which would normally be ineffective, we say he retained for himself the place of the miser, meaning ownership of the land for its future miser. Since the land exists, the condition is effective. So the boy racing around on a segue in a field a Levi sold his father on condition the Maaser Rishon is his, had to duck under the boards that were jutting off a roof the home seller kept for himself, with the words Al Menashe Hadyote El Yona Shali, which reminds us, if one sells a house to his fellow and tells him Al Menashe Hadyote El Yona Shali, the sale is with the condition that the upper story is mine, meaning the roof enclosed with a tent of a fence, then the upper story is his. Since this additional stipulation is unnecessary because a seller retains such a roof anyway, it's interpreted to retain additional rights. Zvid says Shimratza Lhotzi Bazizi Motzi. It means that if the seller wants to project beams from the roof, he may, although it extends into the airspace of the chatzer, which the buyer now owns, because the seller retains rights in the chatzer to project beams into it. Rapapa has a different pshat. So the boy racing around on a Segway in a field of Levi sold his father on condition. The Maaser Rishon is his, had to duck under the boards that were jutting off a roof the home seller kept for himself with the words Almanashi Hadyote El Yon Shali, and was heading directly towards a pit that was included in the sale with the words from the depth of the earth to the height of the sky, which reminds us. Rav Dimi from Nardaw said that if one sells a house, even if he wrote to include Umka Varuma, the depth and height of the house in the sale, he must write Kanilacha Metahom Ara Ba'adroma Rakia, acquire for yourself from the depth of the earth to the height of the sky, if he wants to include the house's pit in the sale. Daf Samach Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Samach Dalet is sewed a secret, and we use a secret agent. So here goes. The secret agent, that must be more Daf Samach Dalet, sewed, secret. The secret agent who sold his house and had to purchase the right of way to get to a cistern to hide in while doing surveillance, which reminds us of Murmuring Zimachokas if one needs to purchase a right of way when selling a house and retaining the pit. So the secret agent who sold his house and had to purchase the right of way to get to a cistern to hide in while doing surveillance was glad the cistern had such sturdily built walls, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who sells a house retains its bor, its pit, and dus, cistern. Ravina sat and asked, Hayinu bor, hayinu dus, a bor and a dus are the same. Since both are holes in the ground made to contain water, why did the Mishnah teach both? Rav Tosfot answered Ravina from a brisa, and the Rashbam explains that if the Mishnah had only taught that the seller retains the bor, one could think that a dus, which is a stone structure similar to the house, would be sold along with the house. If the Mishnah had only taught that a seller retains the dus, one could think that this is because it's independently significant, being a stone structure, but a bor, which is only a hole dug in the ground, would be sold along with the house. Therefore, the Mishnah taught that the seller retains both. So the secret agent who sold this house and had to purchase the right of way to get to a cistern to hide in while doing surveillance was glad the cistern had such sturdily built walls and had a very good eye, not only for finding clues, but also for being generous while doing sales, which reminds us. The Gemara explains the Machlokas if the seller must purchase a derech for his retained pit. Rekiba holds a mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. A seller sells with a good eye, meaning generously and fully, and so is presumed not to have retained a derech for himself to access the pit without stipulating it. The Rabbanan hold mocher ba'ayin ra mocher. A seller sells with an evil eye, meaning grudgingly and minimally, and we assume he retained a derech to access the pit. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you know the one is chayv skill for worshiping Avodah Zarah and one of the four ways one worships a Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's on Daf Samach. Good. Number two, which stuff do you discuss the incident of the eagle and the implication of the word Halucha? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number three, which stuff do you know that an Ovid Avodah Zarah is only chayv for one chatas for multiple services? That's on Daf Samach Beis. Good. Number four, which stuff do you learn? A Dorish al Amesim is one who starves himself and sleeps in a cemetery to get a Ruach Tuma to rest on him. That's on Daf Samach Hei. Good. Number five, which stuff do we have the description of the Moloch service? That's on Daf Samach Dal. Good. Number six, which stuff do Malchokas whether a Nachri, who is Osuk B'Torah, is Chai Miso or is considered like a Kohen Gadol? That's on Daf Nun task. Good. Number seven, which daf do you discuss if Ishtachava bowing qualifies as a Maisa according to the Rabban? That's on Daf Samache. Good. Number eight, which daf do we have a Machokas if Moloch is considered a form of Avodah Zarah? That's on Daf Samach Dal. Good. Number nine, which daf do you discuss whether Havara kindling is Lachalik Yatza or Lalav Yatza? That's on Daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 10, which daf do we discuss if there's a carbon for Yadoni, according to Akiva, who obligates a carbon without a Maisa? That's on Daf Samach Hei. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.